Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. As always, we begin our time with Tim, Harvard coach Tim Murphy, as we take a look back, as we often do, as we always do. We take a look back and a look ahead as the Crimson look to get back on track in Hanover against Dartmouth this week after disappointing Friday Night Lights against Princeton last week. Coach, I guess the way to characterize, I think, really to begin is you've so rarely been in the position, really, your entire tenure as coach to be in a game that got away in the second half. It just hasn't happened that often. It's an unenviable position and one that I'm sure you don't want to repeat anytime soon.
Well, no question about it, Bernie. I wouldn't say it's uncharted waters, but relatively speaking, that's not a bad description. If for no other reason that, you know, you look over the last, this century, you know, there's very few games we've been out of with 10 minutes left to go in a game. Not that we're ever out of it. But the reality is that, you know, a close game at halftime turned into a relative rout for the following reasons. One, we had trouble getting off the field defensively. We had trouble staying on the field. And, you know, we had a huge turnover margin. And a lot of that is just Princeton. There's a reason, you know, they're ranked number, 9, 10 in the country. Extremely athletic football team on both sides of the ball. They had the speed and power on both sides of the ball. Huge difference maker playmakers at the quarterback and receiver position. We expected that to some extent at the receiver position, and the quarterback played the, you know, the best game of his life. He's a transfer from FBS, University of Colorado, and, you know, he played like an FBS player on that night. But the reality is, you know, they kicked our butts in the second half, and that was the difference in the game. They, you know, they just were far and above any team we played other than Holy Cross, who's ranked number 5 in the nation.
And you mentioned just on the defensive side, going back to the opener and characterize how much speed that Merrimack had on the field, the scholarship program. It seemed from our view of the game on Friday night that in some ways this Princeton team was maybe every bit as fast as maybe Merrimack, who I think was probably the fastest overall defense that you saw. They seemed like they were relentless sideline to sideline, Coach.
Well, there's no question about it. And, you know, it's one thing seeing it on film. It's another thing seeing it up close and in person. They just really have done a great job in the recruiting process. You know, and you know, they certainly have, you know, worked hard to get there. You know, and with their, you know, state-of-the-art facilities, that certainly has resonated in the national recruiting. They've done a good job coaching, and the combination of those two receivers just being able to make really, really big plays. It's something that we've had bite us in the butt, if you will, a couple times. We had it a bit, certainly, in the Merrimack game. We saw that again with one receiver, had about 160 yards total offense in the Holy Cross game. And then, you know, this kid, 176 yards by one receiver. Boy, that's an amazing performance.
Yeah, you look at, referring to Yossi Vash, the Hawaiian, and a guy that, I mean, when you think of receivers, I'm not just thinking of this season, Coach, but receivers that you've faced in your time at Harvard, I would think you got to put him right at the top of the list. I mean, to be as much of a physical athletic, he's a track athlete, he's 6'3", he's 200 pounds, he's a big target. I mean, he's a guy that you got to think he's probably got a pretty good chance to play on Sunday. My gosh, what a package.
He is an NFL player, Bernie, to your point, similar to Justin Watson, the great one from Penn, who probably graduated about 6 or 7, 8 years ago, who's still playing in the NFL. Yeah, there's no question he's an NFL player, and to be able to get a quality student-athlete at that level in our league is a huge difference maker.
And a big difference, I don't know if it was to your expectation, it certainly wasn't to ours as far as just preparing for the game and what we might see, but the matchup of your defensive line, which is vaunted and which is impactful each week. You knew you had a massive offensive line with Princeton, 300 across the board, the exception of the center, but everybody else 300 plus. you had your moments in terms of being able to force things or get Princeton out of a rhythm, but Stenstrom's ability to run, was that somewhat of a surprise to you, just to see how nimble he was and how he was able to get out of things and to be able to get positive yardage out of situations?
Yeah, we hadn't had a huge sample size of that, Bernie, in all the video that we watched. It was very impressive. As we all know, at every level, starting in the NFL, just ask the Patriots, with the Bears quarterback. The guys that, when you're drop back passing, you do cover well, who then can just attack the perimeter or step up, and all of a sudden on third and eight, and you do a good job on the secondary, he gets a first down. That's very challenging. And having a legitimate dual threat quarterback is almost to the point of being something you have to have at every level. And that includes the NFL.
Yeah, we're seeing it right to the top in the NFL. There's so many more quarterbacks that are a dual threat and that become effective. Another factor you mentioned about Stenstrom and coming from FCS and coming from Colorado, where he saw time before COVID and on the field for them. I know you referred in your post game contested balls. It wasn't as if you weren't in coverage or you weren't in the right place in certain situations. I don't think I've ever seen so many important 50-50 balls where it looked like you had things in check, where he maybe just put it into a very, very small window, or that the receiver was able to make a play, really no fault of not being in position from the standpoint of your secondary.
Well, no question about it, Bernie. At times it took an extremely accurate throw and an extremely strong catch, and from quarterback to receiver, I have not recently seen anyone do it better than those folks did it on that night.
And on the offensive side, bright spots with Bourget, again, effective against a defense that 46 yards per game with Princeton on the ground. You did have your moments with the Bourget being effective. And also, I think we've seen the emergence of certain guys and weapons that Charlie can call on. A breakout game, really, for Tyler Neville as to just how effective and how important a receiver he can be for you down the stretch.
Well, to your point, Bernie, at times we ran the ball well. We probably were not consistent enough, but we ran the ball pretty well, and our offensive line has played well, our tight ends have played well, and obviously Aiden Bourget is a very special player. But on this particular afternoon, Tyler Neville took the next step, and I'm really happy with our tight end group and our main group of 12 personnel of Tyler Neville at Y and Haven at H-back, although both kids play both positions. But when we recruited him, we thought he was a little Kyle Juszczyk-like. He continues to give us that look. And it's obviously had an effect on the quarterbacks, too, because as they go through their reads, they're going to make the read progression and throw the open guy. But, I think everybody feels strongly that he's a guy that can make yards after the catch. And that's not necessarily something you see from every tight end at the FCS Division I level.
Definitely the case. A high watermark, if you will, in the game was undoubtedly the big crowd into it, great atmosphere, the drive that you put together, the 7-play, 70-yard drive at the end of the half. It was one, take your pick, and Mike Tomlin likes to say splash plays, chunk plays, splash plays, one right after the other. You had to feel good going into the locker room at 14-10, just basically with what you were able to put together on that drive. It seems like you'd kind of flip the tumblers on the safe and you came up with a combination at that point that would carry into the second half.
Well, no question about it. It was uphill sledding for much of the first quarter and some of the second quarter. And the bottom line is that we knew we had to get a drive, and we've done that on several occasions, especially in the second half recently. And at that point, we felt very comfortable, even though they had a four-point margin at halftime. But the reality is, in the second half, they just, they did a great job changing up defenses. They continued, obviously, to score. We were not matching those scores. And all of a sudden, for the first time in the longest time in our league, we see a team with a double-digit a double-digit gain on us. So obviously they're an outstanding team. There's a reason they're number, I don't know, 9 in the country. There's a reason that they're 7-0, and you know, they've become a much better team than they were a year ago, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Bright spots defensively. You look for guys that are stepping up and being more impactful. Matt Hudson, he had a career day for himself with 10 tackles, and he's a guy, it seems like, we'll call him that name more and more in terms of his emergence right in the middle of a defense, the junior.
Yeah, Matt's a guy that, you know, the sky's still a limit. You know, there's just not a lot of very athletic 6'3", 235-pound guys. And,
yep.
You know, he's had his challenges this year, being his first year of playing, you know, full-time at the Division I level, but has gotten better every game. But the overall linebacker group is a good group. You know, when you take Jack McGowan at the outside linebacker position, who's an extremely veteran player. Jake Brown at the inside linebacker, an extremely veteran player. And then just the overall skill set and now experience of a younger kid. You know, it's a good group, you know, and we have to capitalize on it.
And I know you're in good hands on the field, off the field, with the captaincy in the hands of Truman Jones. And Truman had even in a losing cause. I mean, his compete level, 7 tackles, a sack. He blocked an extra point. He made some big plays despite the result. And I'm sure you know that as far as going forward, you certainly know what you have to be able to bounce back beginning this week.
Yeah, it's rare that when you have a captain, you say that, you know, his play is surprising as a senior because you have some high expectations that you're going to get a good player. But,
yeah,
you know, besides being, you know, our obvious team leader, our team captain, you know, he's just improved dramatically as a player. He's just put so much into it. There's a kid with his character on so many levels. You know, he's, you know, one of the smartest guys on the team. You know, going to medical school, he's at least a peripheral NFL prospect. And, you know, his leadership, his intensity, day in, day out, is just phenomenal. Even among a place like Harvard, he's a very special kid.
Next up is Dartmouth. It's another one of the annual rivalries that is on a very high level. The relationship that you have with Coach Tevens, obviously, well documented. I guess you could look at the record or you could look at the reality. I've been looking at the reality as I look ahead to this game this week, and the record is not what Dartmouth has been accustomed to in recent years with their revival, but an overtime loss to Penn, who remains perfect, a three-point loss to Yale, three-point win against Columbia, and a battle against UNH, a scholarship program. So I'm sure that's what you're focusing on and keeping the guys away from looking at the standings in terms of getting ready for this week and really being ready for this week.
Well, Bernie, I think it speaks to the parity in our league right now. Nobody has had an easy game. And you look at the teams that have been in the relative cellar recently. You know, cellar's a tough term to utilize, but, you know, whether it's Brown, whether it's Cornell, who haven't been at the very top of the league, they're playing everybody really tough. And all of a sudden, you see a team like Dartmouth, who's been in the top three for 5 or 6 consecutive years, and all of a sudden, you know, they've got 4 losses. Boy, it just speaks to the intense competition in our league. You better be healthy and ready to play every week. And we know what Dartmouth team we're going to get. You know, it's a huge rivalry over. You know, the last 100 years, if you will. And it's always homecoming when we go up there, and we'll get their best shot. And we know this is a team that is better than their record would suggest.
And final point, Coach, similar situation a year ago, much different in terms of what the actual way it played out on the field, obviously, against Princeton. But I think, you know, you got a lot of guys in that locker room, Truman Jones leading with the C, that are resilient and have shown their resiliency in the games that they've had over the course of this year. But looking back to what the body of work was down the stretch last year, after in the aftermath of what happened, and I'm sure that you have great confidence in your core group, your veteran group, your leadership group.
Well, we do. There's no question about it. you know, we're a team that we feel like we can beat anybody that's left on our schedule. I'm sure the opposition would say the same thing.
Right, parity.
You know, we're, it's not even one game at a time for us. Let's just go out and have a great practice, make strides there, get better at everything we do. But I knew, this is a game that, is always one you mark on the calendar because of a long-term rivalry. And our kids, coming off a tough loss after playing a couple of really good games in a row, undefeated on the road, I believe, or 3-0 on the road. Our players are really looking forward to this, as are the coaches.
Indeed. Well, best of luck as always, Coach, moving forward this week and heading up to Hanover and hopefully getting things turned back. And you're heading north. Hopefully you're heading north, just not just on Route 89, but heading north there with the season and getting things turned around this week. All the best.
All right, Bernie, appreciate you and look forward to seeing you up at Hanover.
Coach Tim Murphy, our time with Tim this week on Inside Harvard Football. Very pleased to be joined here this week, first of all, in our Crimson profiles on the offensive side. Not the results that the Crimson wanted last Friday, but we've got both guys on the offensive and defensive side with us this week that really stepped forward and had breakout games, and a lot to look forward to with their performance, and the Crimson looking to bounce back this week against Dartmouth and down the stretch. First up on the offensive side is junior tight end Tyler Neville out of Williamsburg, Virginia. Tyler, great to have you join us this week. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Tyler, it seems like as this season has progressed for the Crimson, you have become more of a favorite target for Charlie Dean, the Crimson quarterback. And no sooner we go back to last week that you were one of the favorite targets and one of the guys that figured prominently in the Crimson offense. Just to give us some insight about your role and how it's developed and how you seem to be a lot more comfortable in the passing game right now.
Yeah, it's just kind of been a trust thing over this season. Me and Charlie Dean, we were up here all summer together at Summer Dogs, building that throughout the summer. And as the season progresses, Coach Murph does a great job at getting us into places where the tight ends can really make a play. And I've been getting the ball in space where I can make a move or two, which has been really, really fun. But yeah, it's just been a trust thing, and you know, you if you're consistent, Chuck will hit you.
Well, you put yourself in good positions for some key plays here as the season has gone on. Also, the tight end position, the people that follow Harvard football know that it's been a very important one, significant, not just at Harvard, but also as a path to the next level with guys like Cam Brate and Kyle Juszczyk and some of the guys that we've seen, Anthony Firkser. And was that something that you were well aware of before you came to Harvard from Williamsburg, from Lafayette High School?
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. Coach Murph and Coach Kennedy was actually my recruiting coach down in Virginia. So I was very well aware of it.
There's been some great success at that position. And once again, who better than you to give the fans and everybody in Crimson Nation that has an opportunity to check out our show just to some insight about the role that the tight end, the tight end, the H-back kind of hybrid position in the Harvard offense and what that role is and how you've really warmed up to that role and just to once again become more comfortable with it as the season has gone on.
Yeah, so we do literally everything. I mean, we're split out wide as like a wide receiver. We're split out in the slot. We're obviously hands in the dirt, and then we're in the backfield. And I think pretty much every single game, I do every single thing. So it's awesome. I mean, I got to be in the backfield a lot last game. I'm blocking down on 9 techniques, and then I'm leaking into the flat, or I'm split out as a wide receiver, and I'm blocking for a screen, and then I'm fake blocking for a screen and going. Literally, you get to do everything. It's much different from high school or any other offense you see in college football. We really get to do everything, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're getting that 12 personnel, and it's really multiple, Tyler.
Yeah, I love 12 personnel. So Haven plays more of the H, and then I'm more of the Y. But we flip-flop pretty consistently.
And anything that you like in particular or you prefer? I know I'm sure you love to catch the ball, but anything else that you take particular pride in or know that when your number is called or you know what your responsibility is on a particular play?
When you're out of the backfield, when you're in the backfield and you're either coming down and blocking out on a nine technique or back blocking on a nine technique, you definitely have to take pride in it because they're coming full speed, you're going full speed. It's mano y mano, and it's low man wins.
Exactly. That's when you're looking to really get the edge, and oftentimes it's being able to get that edge for Aiden Bourguet, who's a pretty good back.
Yeah, he's a guy to block for. I don't think I've ever seen him go down on first contact. If you watch the film, it's often we'll be blocking. I'll kind of get my assignment, turn around, thinking the play's over, looking for the next signal, and sure enough, he like broke a couple tackles, and I got to go block downfield 10 yards later.
Of course, COVID hit hard for everybody, particularly for Ivy League athletics and Ivy League football. You came back last year. You had a dozen catches last year. You began to get into that offensive package. This year, you look at the numbers. You're coming off your best day last week with, five catches and 15 for the season. Also found the end zone a couple of times there, and I'm sure that was exciting for you to score your first touchdowns at Harvard against Cornell and then this past week against Princeton.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a dream, really. My role in the offense now. Last year, I was definitely getting my feet wet. I'm a little nervous out there as technically a freshman, but I was thankful to get 12 catches, which was great. But now I feel like I'm really a focal point of the offense with like a three-headed monster in the receiving core, getting the ball a lot more, which as a tight end is a lot of fun.
And matchup problems that when you do have that, particularly that 12 personnel on the field that you create for defenses, you're a big target, 6'4", 235, and that puts you in good shape to be able to go up and get balls. And they talk about those 50-50 balls, and when I see a guy with your size and your ability there, I think a lot of times it's more like an 80-20 ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Love having linebackers on me. Like, guys, like, my husband right here.
Yep.
It really is. It really is a nice advantage because, I mean, there'll be a lot of times we'll have an inside linebacker playing us at 5 yards, and we get a running start. That's tough. That's tough to cover. And then, yeah, bigger target. And now Chuck's trusting me. He'll give me opportunity to go up and make that play.
Mention about linebackers. We've got you. We're going to have Matt Hudson. He is waiting in the on-deck circle to come on. Do you guys battle it out at practice, your classmates? You're both juniors.
Yeah, I think I blocked twice today. We're not doing a crazy amount of one on one, like ones versus ones, so I don't get to don't get to do it a lot. But I got a couple hits today.
Okay, that's good to hear. And Lafayette High School, you were a captain. You played offense, defense, as most guys do. They come up through the high school ranks. You played tight end. Also, you've got some familiarity there as far as linebacker. You played outside linebacker in high school.
Yeah, I played a lot of outside linebacker, and it was a lot of fun. They kind of let me loose and let me blitz a lot, which isn't really what they do in college as much, but it was a lot of fun in high school.
Another guy that came from Williamsburg, Virginia, was pretty good off the edge. His name was Lawrence Taylor.
Yep, yeah, Lafayette High School, baby.
That's right, absolutely. I'm a big Giants fan, so I knew that right away when I saw the high school in the hometown. There you go. I remember him well.
Sweet.
And also, I can imagine with Your basketball experience in high school, Tyler, you're outstanding basketball player, your 1,000-point scorer in high school. A lot of those techniques apply if you're in a rebounding situation or if you're in a situation you're going to go up to get a ball on third down. It's really kind of the same technique and principle.
Yeah, Coach Murph actually talks, if you're at a tight end meetings, he talks a lot of basketball, a lot about boxing out, especially like on hook routes we got to do behind us. Talking about it's just like boxing out for a rebound, so it really does carry over very, very well.
Indeed the case. And great football bloodlines in your family. Your dad, Thomas, at the Naval Academy, and your brother, Trey, at West Point. How did you not go to a service academy? I guess you ended up at a safety school like Harvard.
yeah, I was pretty close.
You were.
The Naval Academy wanted me to play. I never go to Army, and I would, Lord knows, I'd never go to Air Force. But the Naval Academy wanted me to play outside linebacker.
Uh-huh.
I prefer to catch touchdowns.
I get you. So that was the trump card Coach Murphy had, and he threw that one on the table to play tight end.
And, yeah, definitely.
have a chance to be part of, as we talked about, this this tight end, great tight end legacy at Harvard. And Tyler, from a personal standpoint, really impressed there, and you know, obviously calling the games. I'm familiar with you on the field, but you do a little more homework when you have the opportunity to spend some personal time and get to meet somebody in these interview situations. But you, as a young man and a junior in college at Harvard, you have your own foundation. And just to give us your perspective on that and the description about that, it's actually is something that you couldn't be more admirable with what you're doing with children that are battling cancer with the Tyler Neville Foundation.
Yep. So yeah, I started that my freshman spring here. I battled cancer my freshman year of high school, the majority of that, and I was treated at Children's Hospital, CHKD, down in Norfolk, Virginia. Mm. And I was definitely the oldest kid in the chemo ward. I was about 16. I'm going through chemo, so you kind of get a different perspective when you're older, mm. watching young children going through chemo. So I knew I always wanted to give back a little bit. I wanted to do like a tournament to raise some money. But then after my freshman year, I just got to thinking, like, I had a couple things planned. I was like, why not just make it a foundation? So my mom really helped me, started the foundation my freshman spring, had a couple events that next summer. And right now it's tough while I'm in season and in school, it's a bit slower. But yeah, trying to do everything I can to give back to the community that helped me so much when I was in need.
Well, that's tremendous. And with your firsthand experience, I mean, you know, you've been literally and figuratively on the front lines of being in the situation that you were in. And I can't say enough about that. And my admiration for you for what you're doing. It's outstanding.
Thank you.
Next up for the Crimson, it'll be Dartmouth in Hanover, a Dartmouth team. Record-wise, they've struggled. You go a little further inside. I talked to Coach Murphy today. Typical of what's gone on in the Ivy League, great parity. Dartmouth's had a couple of close ones. They've won a close one. They've had a couple of close ones slip away. I'm sure you're anticipating a battle there and a great rivalry game in Hanover.
Yeah, they're always great. I had to start against them last year. And that was a tough game for us. Kind of weather like today, last year's a little cold, a little rainy. Wasn't perfect conditions. But we know it's going to be a slugfest no matter what. They're good. We're good. They're well-coached. We're well-coached. So it'll just come down to who wants it more. And after last week, I can promise you we're pretty hungry.
Oh, indeed the case. We'll look forward to that. Tyler, thanks very much for joining us. Best of luck this week against Dartmouth and down the stretch here of your junior campaign.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Tyler Neville, Crimson junior tight end out of Williamsburg, Virginia. Our guest, our first of our two Crimson profiles this week on the offensive side here on Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett ready to go on the defensive side now with junior linebacker Matt Hudson. Matt, a native of Eagle, Idaho, and coming off, is similar to Tyler Neville on the other side of the ball, coming off a breakout game. Once again, not the results the Crimson wanted last Friday, but Neville and Hudson in particular, we're glad we got both of them on. They both had big games that bode well for their contributions down the stretch. Matt, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
Well, Matt, it was a big-time breakout day for you facing that Princeton offense. You had 10 tackles, 5 of them solos, a couple of tackles for a loss, and it just seems like that your presence from week to week, similar to Tyler Neville on the offensive side, is becoming more prominent, more of an impact each week. Are you just feeling more comfortable with your responsibilities on the defensive side and the reps that you're getting?
Yeah, definitely. Every week that goes on, I'm just trying to develop it and get better. And this was just a week in particular where I had a lot of opportunities to make plays. So I'm grateful for that.
You're a junior, and again, taking a step up, there's been a great tradition at the linebacker position. We talked to Tyler about the tight end, but also a great tradition at the linebacker position. You had some pretty good role models there playing on the inside in the Harvard defense. Look no further than your captain a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't talk more highly of Jordan Hill and how lucky I was to have a year under him and learn from him and kind of copy every single thing he did and try to be like him when I'm on the field. So I was very lucky for that year.
indeed, very proud of his accomplishments on and off the field and leading the Crimson. And your responsibilities, give us just some insight as far as your position on the inside. You've got an opportunity, really, and we've seen you be able to go sideline to sideline to make plays. The fact that you've been on 32 tackles so far this season, you've been active week in and week out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I play in between what I think two of the best linebackers in the Ivy League, and Jeff McGowan and Jake Brown, and everyone knows about the Crimson D-line, so my job's pretty easy as far as I'm concerned. Just got to do, just execute the game plan for the week. And as the week's going on, I'm just trying to get better at doing that.
No doubt. You've got better, and thus the Crimson defense has been better in terms of their performance. And you look, your background, once again, Eagle, Idaho. What was life like in Eagle, Idaho? Obviously, an area of the country a lot of people, Boston, maybe don't know that much about, or probably have never had the opportunity to travel there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I enjoyed the time I spent in Idaho. I think it's a pretty beautiful place. I live not too far from Boise, which is, many people don't believe me when I say this, but it's a city. We have a city out there.
So, I've been there once, so I could say, yes, you're right.
Yeah, definitely.
And Eagle being a suburb, if you will, of Boise. And your journey, it amazes me. I'm always fascinated by the track that people take on their college athletic journey. In your case, from Eagle, Idaho, after a couple of years there, particularly your final year playing there, you wanted to seek another opportunity and came all the way across the country to Fork Union, which has got tremendous reputation of turning out players for Division I football and beyond, with some of the NFL guys there like Carlos Hyde and Plaxo Burress and Michael Thomas, just to name a few. But Fork Union in Virginia, was it at first maybe a little bit of a culture shock for you to be coming all the way across the country to pursue your football dream?
Definitely. I mean, just coming out of high school, they don't really recruit Idaho big time, and I didn't have that many opportunities. I didn't have a lot of coaches seeing my film, so me and my dad, we got online and we found Fork Union, took the trip out there, and just decided to go all in at this military academy across the country. And it's definitely a culture shock. I was in full uniform every day, marching around, saluting the flag, but I was surrounded by, 30 other Division I level football players, and we were just getting to do what we love every day, play ball. So it's a time that I look back on very fondly, and I think it definitely it changed me a lot, and I'm really grateful for my time there.
And probably grateful that the alarm is not going off at 6 a.m. as it was in military academy. That must have been a little bit of a shock to your system also, day in and day out.
Oh, definitely. I mean, people ask me if I would have liked to, go on in the Army, play Army or Navy, and I always answer, definitely not. So I am grateful at my time there. I didn't want to ever pursue any more of that.
Well, you had a taste of it, and it gave you the opportunity. You mentioned about somewhat lightly recruited guys. Idaho sometimes can maybe kind of slip through the cracks a little bit. You did have some attention, I guess, from what I realized from San Diego and Yale, a couple of teams, but this gave you an opportunity to really open things up, linebacker and quarterback were the positions that you played going back to high school. But suddenly, after Fork Union, you had a lot of attention of a number of schools around the country.
Yeah, it definitely opened a lot of doors for me. And just getting coaches to get eyes on me and watch my film helped out a lot. But once I got in contact with Harvard, I met the defensive coaches. I met Coach Murph. I knew immediately this is the right place for me. This is where I wanted to be.
Oh, indeed. It's been the right place for anybody that's followed the Crimson Fortunes, particularly this season. And you do have, as many of the guys do, we talked to Tyler about it, a varied background as far as athletics. You played basketball, baseball, a lot of different skills. You had an opportunity to pursue a number of different sports coming up through the ranks, which I'm sure helps you in your football pursuit.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure that much about how baseball really contributes to being a linebacker, but just being an athlete, playing basketball, playing all these sports growing up is something that you can see in my movement, and it just helps out a lot, being an athlete, playing at the second level, playing defense.
No doubt, on that second level and right in the middle of that Harvard defensive set. Matt, next up is Dartmouth, and last year it was a tough one. It went all the way down to the wire. Team bounced back after that, closed very strong. I know you're hoping to begin to close strong. I'm sure the sentiment is to begin this week at Dartmouth, rivalry game, and one I'm sure you're looking forward to against the Big Green.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it. The other 10 guys on the defense, we're all fired up. We're ready to put on a big performance after last week. And we know Dartmouth is a great football team, as always. And we're ready to go. We'll be ready to go.
Well, thanks very much for joining us, Matt. And look forward to this weekend. And I wish you all the best against Dartmouth. And down the stretch here of your junior season, all the best.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Matt Hudson, Crimson junior linebacker out of Eagle, Idaho, our guest here, our second Crimson profile from the defensive side this week on Inside Harvard Football.